This is Henry Simon bringing you another story from my files here at the Missing Persons Bureau.
In these stories of the Missing Persons Bureau, dramatized for Henry Simon, names and addresses have, for obvious reasons, been changed. The Colgate Show, address unknown, is brought to you by the makers of Colgate Dental Cream, Colgate Toothbrushes, Colgate Shampoo, Colgate Beauty Soap, Colgate Hairspray, and Colgate Talc.
In one moment, the search for Royce Weston, address unknown.
And here again is Henry Simon.
The sensational stories that one occasionally reads in newspapers are very often less sensational than those which one does not read, for the very good reason that the papers themselves have been instructed not to print them. And you may be very sure that such instructions have come from a source with considerable power. Newspaper editors speak with some vehemence about governmental instructions which take the form of two letters, simply DP, which stand quite obviously for don't print. When an editor receives a DP, there's almost nothing that he can do about it without bringing upon himself and his newspaper a great deal of trouble. This puts me in mind of an assignment we received some years ago, an assignment which began with the arrival in my office of Sandra Weston, an attractive young woman of about 26, well-dressed and in a state of some tension and nervousness.
It's about my husband, Mr. Simon. Royce Weston. I don't know what to do anymore. I've been doing everything I can, but I seem to be running around in circles. Nobody seems to be able to help me.
Well, let's take it nice and calmly, Mrs. Weston, and see if there's anything we can perhaps do. Now, your husband is missing.
Yes, for nearly a week now. It's ridiculous. His office says he's not missing, that he's simply off on a business trip. But I know that isn't possible.
Why not?
Well, we've only been married a few months, and Royce just wouldn't do something like this. Besides, we've had things to do this week. A theatre booking, a party at some friends, a new art show this evening. Royce wouldn't simply have gone off and forgotten about everything without saying a word to me. He left last Sunday, and he said quite distinctly that he would be away for one day, that he'd be back on Monday night, and now it's Friday.
Back from where?
Germany. He travels there occasionally for his firm. He's with a textile company, Forbes and Baker. This time he had to go to Berlin. But one day isn't five, Mr. Simon. There's something wrong, something very wrong.
Have you been to the police about this?
Yes, and they're less help than anybody. They simply won't do a thing about it.
Oh, that's very unusual.
Unusual or not, that's exactly what's happened. I waited until Tuesday morning before I checked with the office, and they told me they knew nothing about Royce's movements. On Thursday, I spoke to the manager, Mr. Horcross. He said Royce was still away, so I didn't know that, and that it was quite normal for him to stay away for as long as he wanted. They said he often did this sort of thing, found new business, and just stayed away until he tied it up. I mean, have you ever heard of anything so ridiculous in your life?
It does sound rather odd, I agree.
Yesterday afternoon, I went to the police and told them what had happened. The desk sergeant took down all the details and said they'd do what they could. I telephoned them later and I was referred to an inspector. He said that they'd contacted Forbes and Baker and there didn't seem to be any cause for alarm. He just mouthed the same things that Horcross had said and told me there wasn't anything in the circumstances that he could do. Well, I've had enough of it. I want you to do something about it now, Mr. Simon. I want you to find my husband.
Well, Mrs. Weston, if we have to send an agent to Germany to look for him, this could be rather an expensive undertaking.
The financial side isn't important. We're quite reasonably well off. But what is important is that I know what's happened to Royce.
In that case, Mrs. Weston, let's see what we can do. First, a description of your husband, please.
Oh, Well, Royce is 34. He's 5'10", and he weighs 170. He has black hair and blue eyes. I have a photograph of him, if that's any use to you.
I'm sure it will be.
It's a very good likeness, really. Here we are.
Thank you. An interesting face. Any distinguishing marks, scars, birthmarks, anything like that?
On his face, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, just one very small scar on his jaw, just under the right ear, about an inch and a half long. But it's not really very noticeable.
Well, you never know, it might just help. Was your husband booked in at a hotel in Berlin?
Yes, the Kaiserhof in Tempelstrasse.
Kaiserhof, Tempelstrasse. Do you know the nature of the business he went over on, the people he had to see, for instance?
No, I'm afraid not. Royce doesn't talk about his work when he gets home. He says textiles are a terribly dull subject of conversation.
I think I'd be tempted to agree with him. Well, Mrs. Weston, I'll assign an agent to the case at once. I'm sure we'll be able to come up with something for you anyway.
Thank you, Mr. Simon. I can't tell you how grateful I am.
I'll save the gratitude for later, Mrs. Weston, when we find out what's happened to this husband of yours. I called in Agent Luke Parker and briefed him on the assignment. His first call was to Royce Weston's employers. The offices of Forbes and Baker were housed in an old and not very businesslike block in Knightsbridge. The ground floor was taken up with a tailor shop, a grocery, a bookstore, and a second-hand furniture shop. A quick check at the tenants' listing showed a motley collection of occupants, jewelers, milliners, second-hand books, engravers, agents, and an employment agency. Forbes and Baker were on the second floor.
Good morning, ma'am. This is Forbes and Baker, right?
That's right. What can I do for you?
The name's Parker. I'm from the Missing Persons Bureau. I'd like to see Mr. Hawcross, if I may.
You have an appointment?
Oh, no, not exactly, but I'm sure that...
One either has an appointment or one doesn't. You fall into the latter category, Mr. Parker. I'm sorry. It will be quite impossible for you to see Mr. Hawcross today. He's extremely busy.
Well, this won't take long, ma'am.
I would prefer it if you did not address me as Mom, Mr. Parker. My name is Mrs. Magnus. I have no royalty in my blood.
Well, Mrs. Magnus, like I said, this won't take long. I'd just like to see Mr. Hawcross about one of your employees, Royce Weston. You see, we've been asked...
Mr. Weston, is he your missing person?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, dear. And I suppose your client is Mrs. Weston.
She sure is.
Oh, well, let me give you a very good piece of advice, Mr. Parker. Don't waste your time. I assure you that Mr. Weston is not missing, and that your search for him will be nothing but time-consuming and pointless. He happens to be away on a business trip at the moment in Germany. There is nothing unusual about it, and I'm sure Mr. Weston will be returning very shortly.
Uh-huh. You say there's nothing unusual about it?
Nothing whatsoever.
Now, would you mind telling me who Weston went to see in Berlin? His business appointment last Monday.
Very well. It was a very routine business matter. Here we are. Klotz Gunter, Gunter Fabriken, Junkerstrasse, 135. Does that help you, Mr. Parker?
Maybe. Who's he been seeing since Monday?
I really have no idea.
And he hasn't contacted you to even let you know that he'll be away for any additional length of time?
No.
You're not worried about him?
Certainly not.
Why not, Mrs. Magnus? Couldn't something maybe have happened to him? Something bad, like a motor accident, maybe? For all you know, the guy could have been killed over there. And you sit here and say there's nothing unusual about it all.
I don't think there's anything further we can tell you, Mr. Parker. We seem to be talking at cross purposes.
Yeah, we do, kinda. You know something, Mrs. Magnus? I think there's a whole lot you could tell me if you wanted to. I think something fishy's going on, and you're just keeping your mouth shut about it. I think even if you don't know where Weston is, you could give me a pretty good idea about how I could maybe find him. You know as well as I do that there is something very unusual about all this. But you're choosing to ignore the whole thing and stick your head in the sand about it. Now, what are you going to say about that, Mrs. Magnus?
Oh, interesting, Mr. Parker. Most interesting.
And that's all you got to say?
That is all, Mr. Parker. Good day.
Thank you.
Parker reported back to me and gave me a verbatim report of what had transpired at Forbes and Baker. In the circumstances, there seemed little else we could do but start making inquiries in Berlin. And Parker accordingly boarded the evening flight and arrived at the Kaiserhof Hotel some hours later. It was one of those newer, American-designed and financed hotels, very modern and glass-walled, with everything to make the American tourist feel that he'd never left home. The receptionist behind the desk was young and extremely attractive.
Hi there. Oh. Hey, what's a nice girl like you doing in a place like this?
I'm working here, mein Herr. Can I be of assistance?
I sure hope so, honey. I wonder if you'd mind checking your register for me? I'm interested in a guy who arrived here last Sunday evening. The name is Weston. Mr. Royce Weston.
Of course. One moment, please. I will look. Tuesday, Monday. Sunday. Herr Weston, was the man?
Yeah, Royce Weston from London.
Here it is. Herr Royce Weston, 47 Morecombe Drive, Brighton, Surrey. This is the gentleman of whom you inquire.
Yeah, he sure is.
Room 820, mind here?
No, I don't want to know what room he checked into. Just when he checked out or whether or not he left his forwarding address, that's all.
But I do not understand.
Oh, he didn't leave a forwarding address?
But no, mind here. He has not checked out. He is still registered.
Henry Simon returns to continue this story in just a moment. You are listening to The Colgate Show, Address Unknown.
Sue, some of Bill's relatives have just turned up. Can you lend me some sheets?
Wow!
Look at these sheets! They're twice white!
You bet they are! That's Bingo White!
Only Bingo has regular and ultra blue to get your wash twice white.
Ultra blue is Colgate's name for laundry blue.
And Bingo is the only washing powder to contain genuine laundry blue.
Put that...
Wow!
Into your whites and colors. Get Bingo washing powder.
Nothing could be milder for your skin than pure, gentle Palmolive soap.
Because Palmolive is rich in nature's beauty oils to give you that young Palmolive look.
Be younger looking with mild, moisturizing Palmolive soap.
Housewives, how would you like a year's free supply of groceries? That's the first prize in the Palmolive Soap Money Tree Contest. Prizes worth 2,500 rand must be won. Entry details at Palmolive Soap displays in your favorite store.
And here again is Henry Simon.
Agent Parker's face registered a mild blankness. Then he grabbed the hotel register and spun it round to face him. He scanned the names and found Royce Weston's featured prominently in a neat, concise handwriting. According to the register, he had checked into the hotel on the evening of the Sunday he arrived and was still registered in room 820.
Oh, just let me get this right, honey. Royce Weston ain't checked out? He didn't leave here on Monday?
By no, mein Herr. As you can see, here's still the room.
Good evening, mein Herr. I can be of help. Perhaps there's something the matter.
Well, who are you, buddy?
Heinz Krüger, assistant manager of the hotel. I may assist you, mein Herr.
Well, I don't know. According to this register, Royce Weston is still a resident here. Is that right?
May I be permitted to see this register? Danke. Yeah, that's correct. He occupies room 820 on the 8th floor.
Is he here right now?
Ilse, the key to Herr Weston's room?
Yeah, Herr Krüger, it is here.
Ah, so. I am afraid, mein Herr, that the key is down here. Herr Weston is not at present in the hotel.
Oh, but he is still living here. I mean, he has been seen since last Monday.
I regret I cannot help you. We have many guests, mein Herr. One naturally does not wish to interfere, and we do not make note of their comings and goings.
But Weston was originally only supposed to stay to one night.
Then perhaps he changed his plans.
Yeah, so it would seem. You don't know where I could find him, do you?
I'm afraid not, mein Herr.
Great. Great, just great.
Well, perhaps if you would care to leave the message.
No, I'll do better than that. I'd like to check in, please. You have a room for me?
But of course. Fräulein Schmidt will assist you, mein Herr.
Yeah, good. Then when Weston gets back, if he gets back, you can let me know right away.
But that Royce Weston didn't return that night. Parker waited in the hotel and left instructions with the desk to call him if and when Royce Weston appeared. There was no call. Parker confirmed the next morning that Weston had not returned to the hotel. He decided to follow up the lead of the business address of the firm on whom Weston was supposed to have called on the Monday and asked the receptionist for the directions.
Gunther Fabrik in Junkerstrasse 135. This is the address, mein Herr?
Sure. Could you tell me how to get there?
Oh, I would suggest a taxi, mein Herr. Junkerstrasse is in the eastern sector. It would not be wise to travel by bus.
The eastern sector? Holy cow. I mean, ain't it kind of difficult to get across there? What about the checkpoints and so on?
For a tourist to visit the eastern sector, there is no difficulty, mein Herr. Neither to get in, nor to get out again. But for an East Berliner to get out... Ah, here, mein Herr, there is considerable difficulty.
Parker duly took a taxi and made his way through the checkpoint at the wall. As the receptionist had said, there was no trouble in doing so. Parker's passport was stamped and his time of entry recorded by the Fuhrpost. He was asked when he would be returning, and this information, too, was recorded. Then, to his surprise and relief, he was passed through. Junkerstrasse was a long, drab and uninteresting street with a few business blocks interspersed between rows of bleak-looking houses and blocks of flats.
Number 135, mein Herr, we come to it now. On the left, Gunther Fabriken.
That's it, pal. Yeah, kind of grim-looking, ain't it? I mean, they don't look as though they're doing a heck of a lot of business.
In the East, everything looks this way. You will be a long time inside, mein Herr, or you wish for me to wait?
No, I'd like you to wait, please. I don't know how long I'll be. Is that okay with you?
Okay, buddy. I wait.
Thanks. You'll wow him on TV.
Guten Tag, mein Herr.
Oh, hi there. I wonder if I could see the manager or somebody like that.
Bitte, please to wait. I will call.
Thanks. Wow. In a place like this, they could do a great sideline in tombstones. It's about as cheerful as a graveyard. That dame's face when she heard an American accent. Man, she sure was scared about something. And let's face it, Parker, your face may not launch 1,000 ships, but it does not generally scare away the kids or anything like that. So why the frightened reaction? Beats me.
Good morning, mein Herr. I am Klaus Gunther. I may be of assistance, yes.
Oh, how do you do? I'm Luke Parker, Missing Persons Bureau, London. You own this company, Mr. Gunther?
This is correct.
Well, you're the guy I want to see, all right. I'm making inquiries about Royce Weston.
Herr Weston?
Yeah, from Forbes and Baker in London. I believe he had an appointment to see you last Monday.
Yeah, he did. But he did not keep the appointment.
Oh? He didn't show up at all?
No, I've not seen him.
He didn't call you or anything to maybe explain why he didn't make this scene?
I received no call from him, nor did I see him. Is there anything else, my dear?
No, I guess not. If you didn't see him, you can't very well help me.
In which case, I bid you good day, my dear. I am most busy.
How about that? As soon as I mentioned Weston's name, Gunther clams up like he's gotten sudden lockjaw. And he was pretty scared, too. He tried to be nice and deadpan, but I saw his eyes. He wasn't fooling anybody. But why? What's with this Weston character, anyway? He's just a textile salesman. Or is he? Yeah. Or is he, indeed? There's something very fishy about this character.
Mein Herr.
Yeah? What's up, pal?
Bitter, you are in some kind of trouble.
Trouble? Me? What are you talking about?
Behind us, since the checkpoint, has a car been traveling. They follow us.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. I do not wish for trouble, mein Herr.
Well, that figures. How far is the hotel?
Two blocks. Tempelstrasse is the street after the next one.
Okay, well, pull up here. I'll walk the rest of the way. If I am being followed, I want to know the reason why.
Danke, mein Herr.
Yeah, in a busy street like this, it won't be easy for them to start anything. Let's see what happens.
22 Deutschmark, bitte.
Here, keep the change.
Danke, vielen Dank.
That black car, that's the one that just passed us?
Jawohl, that one.
Okay, thanks. On your way, pal. Well, the black car's pulled up ahead now. So he's carrying the ball. Let's see which way he runs with it. Young guy getting out. Looking back this way. He don't look Russian, that's for sure. Or German. Uh-oh. He's walking straight towards me. Should be kind of interesting. Yeah. But interesting for whom?
Good morning, Mr. Parker.
That's right.
My name's Smithers, Consular Corps, Prince's Embassy. I wonder if you'd mind coming with me.
Where to?
Why, the embassy, Mr. Parker.
What for?
Well, someone would like to have a word with you, that's all.
Who's this somebody?
Afraid I can't say.
Huh? And if I say no?
Well, you're perfectly at liberty not to, Mr. Parker. This is a request, not an order. I mean, you're hardly one of us, are you? We have no jurisdiction over Americans.
No threats, no guns, no strong-arm stuff.
Terribly melodramatic. No, no, nothing like that, I assure you.
I'm kind of disappointed.
You've probably been seeing too many American films about British intelligence agents. This way, Mr. Parker.
Come in.
Oh, good morning, sir. I brought Mr. Parker.
Thank you, Smithers. Please come in, Mr. Parker.
Well, that be all, sir.
Yes, thank you. I'm Colonel Mortimer, British Army, retired. Please sit down.
Thanks. What is all this, Colonel?
I'd like to have a word with you, that's all. Cigar?
No. Oh, no, thanks. I don't use them.
As you wish. You've just been over to the eastern sector, Mr. Parker. You visited Klaus Günther at Günther Fabriken. May I ask why?
Well, you're well informed. What's it got to do with you?
You've also been making inquiries about a man named Royce Weston. I'd like to know why you've been so interested in him, too.
You're asking a lot of questions, Colonel, but I'm not getting any answers.
Let me say this. Your inquiries could be very embarrassing to us. Very embarrassing indeed. They might also place a great many people in considerable danger.
Danger? Who? Gunther?
Among others. Now, will you kindly answer my question?
Oh, brother, I'm over here on a job, Colonel. I work for the Missing Persons Bureau in London. Our client is Mrs. Weston. She wants us to find her husband. I'm trying to do just that, okay?
I see. You will not find him, Mr. Parker. Weston is at present in the hands of our Russian friends. They arrested him on Monday as a British spy.
A spy? Weston's a spy?
No, he is not. But if the Russians claim he is, they can use him as a propaganda weapon. Nasty headlines in the press. We don't want that. Don't want it at all. So we're negotiating to have him returned at a price, I'm afraid. The price is a Russian gentleman in our custody who does happen to be a spy. Weston should be released tomorrow if our negotiations are successful. Until then, Mr. Parker, I would suggest that you return to London and report to the head of your bureau. He is a British subject, fortunately, so there shan't be any difficulty insofar as that's concerned.
I just don't get this. If Weston ain't a spy, well, what's all the bother about? Why not just hand over the story to the press and let them kick up a stink about it?
For the precise reason that we don't want a stink about it, Mr. Parker. The press has been instructed not to print the story, in fact. And Weston's employers have been instructed not to divulge any information about him. We have maintained Weston's occupancy at his hotel. On the surface of things, nothing out of the ordinary has taken place. And you, Mr. Parker, will very kindly do nothing to ruffle that surface. Understood?
You know something, Colonel? I don't believe you.
Indeed?
Yeah, indeed. The way I figure it, you are with some kind of intelligence outfit, and so is Weston. You let something slip just now about Günther being in danger. Now, why should he be? If Weston was just a harmless businessman who's been used as a weapon by the Russians.
Very astute of you.
Then I'm right.
Whether or not you're right, Mr. Parker, is totally irrelevant. Our negotiations will take place. The exchange will be made. You will read nothing of it in the press, nor will it be publicized in any way. Even were you to open your mouths and shout from the rooftops, nobody would believe a word you said. So be a good chap, Parker. Run along. Remember what Hamlet said. There are stranger things under heaven and earth than are dreamed of in your philosophy. Sometimes it's better to let them remain that way.
Henry Zeiman returns to conclude this story in just a moment. You are listening to The Colgate Show, Address Unknown.
Two pretty girls, Jane and Sue, but only Sue gets.
Hey, Sue, how's it done?
With Colgate, it's the only one. Brushing with Colgate makes good sense, gives me the ring of confidence.
The ring of confidence?
Yes, that's cleaner breath, cleaner taste, cleaner teeth.
Thanks to Gardol. Only Colgate Dental Cream contains Gardol to clean your breath instantly, fights tooth decay all day.
Colgate Dental Cream with Gardol.
It's new, new, new. It's Ajax 2.
New Ajax 2 with Oxalin Bleach. A washing powder so effective, it's guaranteed.
It's new, new, new. It's Ajax 2.
Look at my wash, so clean and white.
It's new, new, new. It's Ajax 2.
My sheets and towels have never looked so clean and white.
Get new Ajax 2 with Oxalin Bleach. A washing powder so effective, it's guaranteed.
And here again is Henry Zeiman.
That same evening, I received a telephone call from a very high-ranking member of the government. I was instructed to do nothing further in the search for Royce Weston, and that the matter would be cleared with Sandra Weston. Our fee was paid by the government, and the matter was closed with some finality. Was Royce Weston working for British intelligence? Did the exchange of spies take place? Your guess is as good as mine. It wasn't even something that one could read about in the newspapers. And now, as always, this is Henry Zeiman inviting you to meet me here again, and for the present, bidding you au revoir.
The Colgate Show, Address Unknown, is brought to you every Saturday by the makers of Colgate Dental Cream, Colgate Toothbrushes, Colgate Shampoo, Colgate Hairspray, and Colgate Talc. Listen again next Saturday evening at 7:30 when Henry Zeiman will introduce another story in the gripping and unusual series, The Colgate Show, Address Unknown.